These days, insecure in our relationships and anxious about intimacy, we look to technology for ways to be in relationships and protect ourselves from them at the same time. This quote is by Professor Sherry Tuckle of MIT, a founding director of the MIT Initiative on Technology and Self, and I felt this was very fitting because in a sea of quotes that label technology as this dystopian force to ruin relationships or one to unite us, Professor Tuckle's quote was one of the focus on technology as a tool. I'm Daniel Akinola Odusola, and today on Doubt If Living, we're talking about relationships with technology. Now, when I talk about relationships with technology, it kind of can mean a few different things, right? So it can mean your relationship to a piece of technology, but also your relationships through the technology. And both terms have a number of applications. So relationships are the way in which two or more people or things are connected and the state of being connected. Whereas technology is the machinery, equipment developed for the application of scientific knowledge. And this can range from your family member to a loved one as a partner to a friend. And the technology can be anything from a pencil, a letter, phone, to an app. And the whole idea is that there's a lot of underlying ways in which you approach and understand each of these topics and each of these terms. The LAMP, an NYC-based organization bringing 21st century survival skills to youth, parents, and educators, recommends three keys to healthy digital relationship development. The first is to know the sites and tools you're using. The second is to understand the differences between online and in-person socializing. And the third is to set personal boundaries and involve family members or friends. These are going to be tips that I agree with and that will, I guess, be the underlying messages for today's talk. And what I hope you understand is that this all comes from a case of managing yourself, just like with the time management. And that, yes, you do have to treat a friend a bit differently than your parent, let's say, but there's still the same underlying principles of communication. And as we saw from the term relationship, it really is about being connected, but doing it in a way in which you're alleviating stress. The way I think it's best to approach this is to look at some of the main types of relationships, as well as just an overview of how we understand social media and relationships. So we're going to talk about work, friends and family, dating, and then the platforms themselves. So when we talk about work is becoming a bigger thing as more people are working from home due to this pandemic. And a lot of people are experiencing what is called Zoom exhaustion and fatigue. And the whole idea about this is that there's a lot of social pressure and anxiety of the technology working and what it's done, especially in education as well as with work, is exposing the inequities and the imbalances in terms of people's ability to work from home. Because when you're in an office, it's a controlled environment, there's protocols, there's most of the time there's rooms or spaces or corners dedicated to certain types of interactions. And there's kind of an idea of when you can and can't talk to someone. But when you're expected to be available all the time or at very odd times due to being at home, it creates this anxiety. And if you, for instance, can't say something to someone or you can't hear them, there's actually been studies showing that even just the 1.2 second delay makes people perceive the responder as less friendly or focused. And so there's the anxiety of being that person, but also doing that to someone else. And that study was from 2014, so this was way before the current pandemic. And I think the tips in terms of work are to resist the urge to make work accessible everywhere and on every device if you can avoid that. And in terms of the pub quiz, the non-work activities, I mean, everyone's kind of seen those posts about 30 person chats and everything like that where we're playing games, but you don't have to feel the need to always participate in those kind of things, because just as if you were going to the pub after work on a Friday, some people don't do that and some people don't have the energy for it, some people have other commitments. And don't think just because you're at home that you're obliged because you're at home. Think of it as the fact that you are home, so once you're off the clock you can disengage, and that's just really healthy for people to do. But some people actually prefer to be engaged with people in non-work activities digitally. So I'd say lastly that for camera optional, take advantage of that if you need to. And this just means really reassessing of those 30 meetings or 5 meetings, I guess, in the day that you have, how many of them do you actually need to see the person? Do you need to make eye contact and the like? If it's just an update to get things across the board, then it might be really good for certain people who have different living situations that you just give them a call instead, and a voice call, I mean. And these kind of tips will help you in terms of making your work over distance and your relationship with technology through work a bit more efficient and a bit less stressful. But the key thing is to definitely communicate if there's a point of tension, because that's the only way you can draw anything to it and anyone can make a change or help you out. When it comes to friends and family, my tips are basically just to narrow down to maybe daily or weekly with a select group, but be open to others. And this is because you do want to have at least someone there, because these are the kind of things that could lead to the long-term trajectory of depression if you just operate and you don't have anyone to talk to or bounce things off. And it doesn't need to get to a point where it's critical, but it's just helpful. Also, it's helpful to revolve your interactions around activities sometimes. So sometimes it's good to call just to call, but sometimes it's nice to have things to look forward to, or to things that aren't necessarily just about you having to communicate with each other. And that way it alleviates some of the pressure from having to have something to say each time, but you're still having that bond, you're making those memories, and you're still engaging. When it comes to dating, that one's a bit of a well-studied but still changing one, because of the way the culture of dating is and the way that the technology advances. And I think it kind of separates into two main categories. One would be when you're trying to start something, and it's about, you know, in a case of how people meet each other, and it's really all about expectations, as it is when you've been dating someone, you've been in a romantic relationship for weeks, months, years. It's kind of similar, just over years you've hopefully gotten to know yourself and you're more comfortable with talking to each other. But the same tips generally apply. A big tip I'd say is to have outside interests. And I don't mean that in a weird way, in a way that's detrimental, but in a way to just say that maybe for people that don't have the capacity to engage every time, because let's say your work, friends and family are already taking into your social time, into your digital time, etc., but you still want to maintain this relationship, a good idea is to have interests, so that sometimes it's just a chat about your interests and where you are with your projects, or it's just a chat to just check in on someone, but you don't have to feel obligated to engage in ways you don't think are going to help you. And if it's a reciprocal and symbiotic relationship, the right person should be able to listen to you, and you should be able to find some way in which you both get what you want in some way or another. And obviously for newer people, that's really difficult because, especially when scene and life changes, it's very hard to read what another person's meaning when they're messaging a lot or not messaging at all, or they don't want to video call. But the biggest thing with technology is there's a lot of gaps that it leaves. And so don't necessarily make assumptions based on one of those gaps, because sometimes it could be a case that someone just doesn't know the impact of a vacuum of what they're doing or not doing. So the biggest thing, as with all relationships, is still communication. When it comes to social media, there's been a lot of things in the press, especially from the beginning of a lot of the platforms we use now, that has to do with the mental health aspects. And a lot of the research or articles are trying to look at the negative side of it. But social media, technology, phones, they're all a tool, as stated in a quote earlier. Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health has some research that highlighted the ways in which social media can impact us, and it's more than just the frequency and the duration of their use, because a lot of the ways we've looked at technology has kind of been about, oh, screen time is bad, oh, these images are bad, or, you know, you've seen the different type of hype that's out there. But realistically, it is just a tool, so it can be used to bring people together, or it can be used to make people feel worse. Researchers had found that the benefits and harms associated with social media use varied across demographic, socioeconomic, and racial populations and subgroups, and that while the benefits were generally associated with younger age, better education, and being white, the harms were associated with older, less education, and racial minority. Rather than scaring people from social media and from these connected technologies, what it really highlights is to have control and understanding of how you're engaging. So look at the main motivations for each channel, whether it's for business, for updates on world events, to keep updated with friends and family, and don't be afraid to make an account that just follows things, or keep your list and friends small. Find new content if need be, and don't be afraid to unfriend, unfollow things that don't bring good things to you, and redirect from Facebook envy if you feel like it's getting you down, because most of the time it's not telling the whole story. My relationship with all of this is that I'm active on social media, but I'm mostly engaging in news, in public discourse. I'm just a nerd about technology and people, so sometimes I just like to read between the lines in terms of how public discourse is happening. But most of the things I engage with are neutral and good for knowledge, or they're making me happy. Anything that doesn't do either, I give it a 0 to 2 reply or engage limit. I have basically 3 chats, more or less. One's a family one that I engage with daily, and everything else is mostly on a if I contact first or they contact first basis. And I'm cool with that, I'm happy with that, and I don't feel like I'm getting sad or missing out or isolated, but everyone's different, so you've got to just find what works for you. It may not be great for forming new relationships with people, and what this pandemic has kind of highlighted is that I tend to just like to make plans rather than continue to talk digitally, but that's just me. The take home is to be aware of the windows you're allowing technology to provide into your well-being. Technology is not bad in and of itself, because it's just a tool. They're all just tools. The thing is to try and get everything to be constructive and neutral within your space and within your interactions. And don't be afraid to do what you can to clean your feeds, block, mute, unfollow people. Don't feel the need to have to engage people that will not bring you the neutral or the good if you can avoid them. Take agency and don't be afraid to explain your needs to those who are good, who do want to understand you and be there to support. And it doesn't mean they have to talk to you every day or all the time. It's just the availability, because some of the studies showed it's really just the knowing that someone is going to be there that helps people. And remember that you don't always have to engage with it. Think about the social pressures that are making you engage in technology and social media and all that in ways that aren't really helping you or bring you joy. And so switch it up with your schedule, right? And when you're engaging with these devices, with these things, you can even switch it up between how you're using them. So if it's about games versus calls versus videos, etc., be able to find the balance that works for you. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and it's helped you reassess how you're engaging with your relationships with technology. This was a new mic, new audio interface. I think it went smoothly. I hope it sounds better. Thanks to the Bounce Back Business Loan, I was able to get it. And I hope this has been, people are saying it's mellow and a lot of people like that, but I hope it's not boring or, maybe should I put more jokes or sound effects or something like that. At this point, I should probably just be consistent. I'll save it for next season. But until then, enjoy, take care, and I look forward to making the next two episodes.